Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. That's the phone number to call if you'd like to weigh in on this issue. If you're listening out of the country on the Internet, the number is 781-828-4356. International, 781-828-4356. Don Boudreau is our special guest today, and he's been with us before. He's the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. And out of New York, he was a professor of law and economics at Clemson University from 92 to 97. He also served on the economic faculty at George Mason University, and he received his PhD in economics from Auburn University, and his law degree he received from the University of Virginia. He lectures all over the United States and Europe. He's often published in the Wall Street Journal, Investors Business Daily, and on, several other publications that I have here. Don, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure.
It's good to have you back with us, and I know you've got a little bit of a big cold today, and I appreciate you being with us, even though you're kind of sniffling a little bit there.
Yeah, just this cold's been with me for a while.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you being hardcore dedicated and being here to help me talk to small business owners. Don, I told my audience earlier, and I've been telling them most for several days now since you and I talked about you being on, and I mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about the banana wars, and it's a little bit, when you say that, people, if they don't know anything about what I'm talking about, of course it makes you snicker a little bit, and then even if you do know about it, if you just know about the bananas, it seems a little bit silly, mm-hmm. because it's hard to get serious about a banana.
Mm-hmm.
No. what we're talking about is very serious, folks, and what it amounts to is trade issues between our trading partners. And Don, what I'd like for you to do is, can you just set up the story for us about where we are at this point?
You mean in the banana wars?
Yeah, in the banana wars.
Well, very simply, what's going on, this is just there's nothing really special about this kind of thing that's going on throughout history. This is a case where Europe, now acting as a bloc, as opposed to individual countries, the European Union,
mm-hmm.
or many European countries, are keeping bananas from North America out of their markets in order to... Well, keeping bananas from Central America mainly out of their markets in order to favor bananas coming from islands in the Caribbean that are still European protectorates.
And the bananas that they're keeping out are owned by companies that are American companies.
Bananas
that they're letting in are owned by British companies.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And the goal is very, very simple. The Europeans want to help their banana producers at the expense of European consumers. Now, American producers are also harmed by this, but it's important to keep in mind that the ultimate harm falls upon European consumers. This is not Europeans doing something to Americans only. This is Europeans. This is one group of Europeans, the government and the special interest group banana producers, imposing costs on other Europeans, those who want to buy less expensive bananas.
Which are the American bananas?
Which are the American,
uh-huh.
or the South American, Central American bananas.
Right, but the American-controlled bananas.
That's right, the U.S. Dollars, yeah.
And specifically, folks, the two companies that are dominant in this issue, the American companies, are Chiquita and Dole.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
That's right. Well, what the American government is doing in response is, in my view, equally... unwarranted as what the European government is doing.
Mm-hmm.
The American government is saying, okay, well, you're going to slap up import restraints against bananas being exported from South America and Central America. We then are going to keep some of your goods out of our country. And so they've slapped 100% tariffs, meaning that they've doubled the import duty on lots of foreign goods.
Yeah, let me read off a few of these things, folks. And the list of things that they're putting the tariff on is interesting because it's not exactly bread and butter issues. It's not like you won't be able to buy milk and bread or an automobile. But here they are quickly: bath preparation other than bath salts, candles, cashmere sweaters, cotton bed linen, electrothermic coffee or tea makers, folding cartons, non-adhesive plates, sheets, film, etc., lead-acid storage batteries, paper lithographs, pecorino cheese, Parma ham, plastic handbag articles and plastic handbags, sweet biscuits, waffles and wafers, that's crackers basically for us, and uncoated felt paper.
Well, you know, it's easy. Incidentally, they explicitly they made a big deal out of the fact that they did not raise the tariffs on French and Italian wines.
Right. Which would have really ticked me off. I'll tell you.
It pleases me too because I really enjoy French and Italian wines, not very expensive ones. But but you know, it's easy to read these goods and say, you know, well, you got bananas on one side, you have Parma hams and
pecorino paper. Cheese. Don't forget pecorino cheese.
On the other hand, but there's a larger issue here. The government, in my view, has no business telling American consumers. The European government has no business telling European consumers where they can buy their bananas, and the American government has no business telling American consumers where we can buy our Parma ham.
Right.
And this is supposedly a free country. If Americans want to buy Parma ham from Europe, we should be free to buy Parma ham from Europe, and I would leave it up to the American banana manufacturers to persuade the European government to let their bananas in. I don't justify what the European government does; it's awful. But for the Americans to retaliate by slapping on our own import restrictions is very much like cutting off our nose to spite our face.
This is actually a $500 million issue, though, here, folks. And you know, if the items that we're talking about, other than bananas, seem insignificant, it's a $500 million issue, isn't it? I mean, that's the total ticket that the U.S. is going for, isn't it?
Well, that's the official amount. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's even worse than that because you have
Don, I'm sorry, I got you started on that.
That's
and I shouldn't
okay.
have. Let me take a break. It's 20 after, folks. Got to take a quick break. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. I'll be right back with Don Boudreaux. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Boudreaux. He's the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, and I think it's safe to say that Don and his organization are free traders. That means that they believe that markets should be totally open, absolutely no government interference at all. Companies should be able to do business as if we were all one country. Is that a correct characterization?
Well, with one small modification. Yes,
okay.
I'm an absolutist when it comes to free trade, but that doesn't mean that we are against the enforcement of basic laws of contract
okay.
and property rights. Yeah.
All right. Which is kind of where we're headed, folks, with our discussion. These are some questions that I've got for Don. And one of the reasons why I think this is an important issue to bring before you, folks, is because this ultimately, if not directly, this indirectly affects you. And to the degree that these kinds of trade wars get out of hand, one of the things that contributed, depending on whether you're talking to liberals or conservatives, the Smoot-Hawley tariff of 1930, which was imposed by President Hoover, was a contributor to the Great Depression. It wasn't the main reason for the Great Depression, but it did contribute to it. Would you agree with that, Don?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that was basically, well, I'm going to let Don tell you a little bit about that, but basically I wanted you to know that when the United States does things that could potentially upset the very delicate balance that we have right now. And Don, would you agree with that characterization that our world economy is in a very, very tenuous situation, and if it's balanced at all, it's very delicately balanced?
Well, I don't necessarily agree that it's extremely delicate. A free economy can take a lot of abuse, thank goodness. A free economy can absorb a lot of stupidity. and keep churning. Not an optimal efficiency, but it keeps going.
I'm talking about the worldview here. I'm not just talking about the United States.
I know. And you know, as long as countries can trade with one another, then that keeps them going. I don't endorse import restrictions at all, of course. And Smoot-Hawley was quite different. Smoot-Hawley was a major interference in American trading with foreign countries. What we're talking about here is, as you pointed out, it's only $500 million only.
Mm-hmm.
But by the, our economy standards, that's not a lot of money.
That's right.
But it's still unjustified.
Well, when is it justified? You think it's never justified.
I think it's never justified.
In fact, to use his exact words, folks, this is a note to me, there is no need ever, to fear of, to have any kind of a tariff.
That's right. That's my view.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've thought about this. And let me say, on this point, I'm trained as an economist. On this point, I am in the mainstream with the vast majority of economists. The vast majority of economists support free trade with few or no exceptions.
Yeah.
So economists have studied this from the time of Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, written mm-hmm. in 1776.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the employees mm-hmm. of these two companies, Dole and Chiquita.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I don't know how many there are, but this, if it's you, it's a big deal. If
mm-hmm.
you're that employee that may be about to lose his job, or because we can't sell the bananas to
right.
Europe that we've been selling
right.
for the last several years. And by the way, this banana war has been going on for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it just now coming to a head? But before you answer that, tell me about what do we say to this employee who is about to lose his job at Chiquita because the European Union won't import our bananas?
It's very difficult, of course, when someone's about to lose a job to start talking about theories of free trade.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that must be pointed out, that if you save that employee's job, you necessarily put other Americans out of work.
Every action has an opposite and equal reaction, doesn't it?
If you protect one American job, you hurt another American job. And so I would say, if you protect that banana worker's job, what do you say to the other Americans whose jobs you eliminate? And the reason you eliminate those other jobs is, keep in mind, Jim, it's very simple, right? If foreigners buy American bananas, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
That's okay, Don. Stand by, folks. Yeah. We're gonna come back. I'd like to know what you think about this, because, folks, if it's a banana today, what do you import? What do you sell in your business? Or what do you like to buy as a consumer that's made somewhere else in the world? And a lot of the things that you use are made or produced or grown or whatever somewhere else. What if that's not available to you? Or what if you can't export what you sell and what you make? I'd like to know your opinion on this. 888-822-8255. All right, welcome back. It's 3:33. Welcome back, heroes. Thank you very much for being with us today. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don Brudreau, our friend, who is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, is with us, and we're talking about trade wars and import-export relationships between trading partners, partner countries. And for the last 6 years, there have been something called a banana war between companies who produce bananas that are owned by European countries and bananas that are produced by American companies. And the problem started out when the Europeans were favoring their own bananas over American bananas, and according to Don, to the detriment of the European consumer. And as a result, and in retaliation for that, about a week ago, the United States posted some tariffs on or put some tariffs on bananas and other products, about 15 other products. And so the reason that this is a big issue to me is not that you won't have bananas on your shelves. You will have them at your store, and I'm not even sure that the price will go up. But what if it were tires? What if it was something that some plastics or something that you need in your business either to sell or to buy? It could be something that ultimately, if something like this continues, that could continue to hurt you directly, or if it creates problems with our trading partners, and a lot of countries, and Don, you jump in here whenever you want to, a lot of countries put up a bunch of protectionist barriers around their country. Well, that's when I think that we could really be in a have a problem with I still say, a fairly delicate balance in our world economy right now.
Well, if a trade war might be a politically delicate balanced thing, if a trade war starts and escalates very quickly, that would be disastrous. What I meant earlier when I said it's not that delicate is that a free economy has a lot of flexibility in it. But if the politicians start interfering, then it could get very delicate.
Well, do we not have the potential for that at this point?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, politicians have a history of being able to ruin things very quickly.
Yeah.
I never put it past them.
I want to go back though and talk about before we leave the issue that we're finishing in the last segment. You were telling us about I asked you if, you know, what do we say to this employee who works for Chiquita or Dole who may be about to lose their job because the United States has or any of these other countries. These other items on this tariff list could be what if you sell cashmere sweaters in your retail shop, and so now you can't import these cashmere sweaters, and so it affects your business by 10%.
That's exactly right. If we protect American banana producers, we necessarily hurt other domestic firms and employees. Necessarily, you can't save one job without getting rid of others.
Right.
If we force Americans now to buy Parma ham made in the U.S. or cashmere grown here in the U.S., then that means Americans are buying less from Europe. That's true. But ask, why did Europeans ever buy anything from America to begin with? Because they get American dollars. And what do you do with American dollars? You spend them on American goods eventually.
Right, right.
And so if they have fewer American dollars, they buy fewer American goods. No serious economist that I know of, none, for the past 200 years, has doubted the fact that to save one job from import restrictions is necessarily to hurt other jobs. Mm-hmm. We don't save jobs. You don't.
Here's a question for you. When there is a tariff, now you have said that you have told me that the intention of the tariff is not to raise money. The intention of the tariff is to make the other country play fair in the relationship.
Yeah,
restricting.
Yeah, every now and then companies and countries and governments impose tariffs in order to raise money. But the purpose of most tariffs these days is to stem import flows.
But if $1 of tariff is raised,
right,
who gets that dollar?
Well, it goes to the government.
The government gets it. So if the government imposes it's basically a tax then, isn't it?
And it's important to realize it's a tax on American consumers. What you said at the beginning of this segment is very important. If the European governments, in order to protect their banana producers, force Europeans to buy European bananas, and then the American government retaliates by saying, okay, so we're going to stop buying your Parma ham. That's really the American government saying, okay, you're hurting your consumers? Well, we're going to hurt our consumers too. And I don't see how that helps Americans. It helps certain American producers, but not Americans in general. And then the government does get whatever revenue comes from the tariff.
Okay, but it seems to me that the EU, the European Union, kind of started this thing. Am I correct? They sort of started this war. They threw the first punch. If my research has been correct, I think they started it. My question to you is, what do we do to motivate an organization, a group of people like the EU, to not do what they did, which was to basically start this banana war?
Jim, I think it's important to keep in mind that they may have thrown the first punch, but it's important to keep in mind that punch was thrown mainly against its own people. It punched its own people.
But it hurt us.
So I don't believe that the American government should retaliate by saying, well, you punched your people, we'll punch ours.
That's a very interesting way to say it, and I agree with your analogy, but there's got to be a better way to fix this, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, folks. Also, steel. I want Don to talk to us about some of the steel dumping that's been going on. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'd like to know what you think about all this. 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our friend Don Boudreau. He's the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Don, take a moment and tell our audience about your organization and what you do.
We're an economic education outfit. We believe in free markets and free trade. And we do two things. We publish a magazine called The Freeman Ideas on Liberty. It's a monthly magazine. And we have seminars year-round in which we invite high school and college students, and we teach them economics and some political philosophy and history. And we have a website at www.fee.org. And so we're an economic education outfit, one of the oldest in the country. We were founded in 1946.
All right. And do you have a phone number if anybody wanted to call you?
We do. Phone number is 800-452-3518. It's 800-452-3518. And you can call and subscribe to our magazine. We sell books and get information about our seminars. We're a tax-exempt organization. We take no government money. All our contributions are from private individuals and foundations and companies who believe in what we do. We promote voluntary, depoliticized action. We're highly skeptical of government doing anything more than keeping the peace.
Yeah, Don, let's get back to what we were talking about a little bit ago, and that is, I said something about that the EU, the European Union, started this, and you said that they basically, when the European Union started favoring their own bananas over our bananas, over American-owned bananas, so to speak, that they actually hurt their own consumers, and that the United States' reaction to this a week ago by imposing a tariff on bananas and 15 other commodities or other items was to basically punish our consumers.
Yes.
What should the United States have done?
I think the United States government should have done nothing.
Okay, what would have been the result of the United States doing nothing?
The United States consumers would have been freer. They would have been able to continue purchasing, free to choose to purchase whatever goods they want without paying an unnecessarily high price.
Right.
It is true that that Dole and Chiquita might have a more difficult time bringing into the European market, but it's ultimately not our business to tell the Europeans, the European governments, what to do. I think it's horrible that European government dictates to its people what they can consume. But the solution to that is not for us to engage in the same horror by our government, putting restrictions on what we are able to consume.
Well, that's one area that I definitely agree with you on, because one of the things that I found is when the marketplace is faced with an obstacle, the marketplace figures out a way to deal with that obstacle, either to change or to go around it or over it or under it. And if there's something going on illegally, then we have the court system to handle that. And I do agree that the last thing in the world we need is some bureaucrat, not even a politician, but some bureaucrat which has been appointed by a politician to go in there and to try to do something that messes with the marketplace. So I agree with you on that point.
That's a good point. I mean, even if in principle, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but even if in principle a net good could come from the American government slapping retaliatory tariffs against European goods, you have to keep in mind, you're empowering government to interfere in Americans' consumption decisions. And it's not only decisions by consumers, but decisions by American producers, including small businesses, about where they buy their inputs.
Right. Right,
and when you empower government to do that, you give bureaucrats great latitude, and it's naive to expect that this latitude will not be abused. It will be turned toward political ends.
Well, one thing I want to point out here, I made a little bit of a little sort of light of some of the items that were being imported, but some of these things are fairly common. We've got cotton bed linens,
mm-hmm.
cashmere sweaters, as I mentioned, are sold in a lot of retail shops.
Mm-hmm.
Lead acid storage batteries could be important to some small business owners.
I'm sure some of your listeners, for example, run bed and breakfasts.
Yes, absolutely, no question about it.
If these import restrictions on cotton bed linens, mm-hmm. that raises the price in America of purchasing bed linens.
That's
so
right.
The price of running small hotels, big hotels, bed and breakfast, that increases the price. That very well may cause a few people to go out of business.
Let's talk about something that's a little bit bigger issue. What about the steel dumping, the dumping of steel on the United States? What do you think should happen there? Because, of course, the steel industry in America is not nearly what it was 25, 30 years ago. But on the scale that it was. But what do you think should be done there?
The accusation is that foreign steel producers are selling prices here at unfairly low prices,
and dumping means below cost.
Below
right?
cost, and I question. I don't see the evidence. I don't think it's true. Foreign steel producers are selling more steel here at lower prices, but that's because the markets in a lot of their home markets have collapsed. And when that happens, it's quite natural for companies to lower their price. It's not an unfairly low price. We're getting a bargain by being able to buy cheap foreign steel.
Right. But what about that industry? And that's what I want John to talk to us about when we come back, folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Don Boudreau. He's our friend and the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Their website is fee.org. Is that right?
That's right, www.fee.org.
Right, and that's where you can go to find out about. If you'd like to know what people think about who are free marketers, laissez-faire, people who believe in laissez-faire and keeping the government out of our marketplace, which to a tremendous degree, I do. I think there are most things that I think the Foundation for Economic Education believes, I agree with. I guess I can't say everything because I don't know everything you believe in. But one of the things I want to get back to, Don, is steel industry. I'm using them as an example because that's a pretty dramatic example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we've got all these steel mills, all these steel workers. Well, for an example, I'll give you an example. I know of a fairly brand new mini mill, a mini steel mill.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call now, mini
yep.
mills, the new ones. That's not really doing all that well right now because of the price of steel, because of imports, cheap imports of steel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's affecting the jobs of people that I know.
Right, and if you protect those jobs, you put other Americans out of work.
How so?
Well, because if you protect those jobs, you force Americans to pay higher prices now for domestically produced steel. That means Americans have less money to spend on other goods and services that they're spending it on now.
But, Don, what about unfair dumping? I mean, think about this now. And I'm going back to my imbalance, my delicate balance issue. If we've got, and I don't know that Japan's doing this, but I'm going to pick on them for right now. If Japan, whose economy is just absolutely in doing terribly right now,
mm-hmm.
if they've got steel stacked up in the yard out there that they can do nothing with and they need cash.
What's unfair about that? All that means is that they have a lot of goods that happen to have a low market value. Why shouldn't Americans get the benefit of being able to buy that steel?
But Don, that's an event that which could potentially ruin a company. This is not a long-term situation that you and I. Earlier when I said the marketplace finds a way to go up mm-hmm. and over and around and all that, that's assuming that you've got time
to
see it coming and everything. But this dumping is an event. It's happening like this month.
If you're a steel company and you know it's a one-time thing, surely you're not going to trash your years of investment just because of a few months of a competitor selling steel at low cost. The only way you trash your investment is if you believe that the foreign steel producers will continually undersell you.
Yeah.
And so if the foreign steel producers will continually undersell you, that means they're the more efficient producer, and I think it would be both immoral and economically unwise for the American government to deny to American consumers the ability to purchase that low-cost steel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. One of the things that I see happening in the smaller marketplaces, and small business owners do this sometimes, they don't know how much it costs to stay in business, and they start a business,
mm-hmm.
and they sell things too cheap because they want to. The only way they know to be successful is to undercut everybody else that's in the marketplace, when those people that they're trying to undercut actually know how much it costs to stay in business year after year, and the new guy doesn't.
Right, and I bet if
that happens a lot.
And I bet if you look at statistics on who survives, it's not the guy who necessarily charges a lower price. It's the guy who charges the right price with the right combination of quality and service.
Yeah.
Low price is not the sole means of staying in business.
Right. Yeah. Don, I got to wrap it up for this hour. You did a great job. Thank you very much for helping us understand this issue.
It's always my pleasure.
Thank you. We'll have you back again real soon.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, see you later.
See ya.
All right, folks, I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because you're the most important member of this show. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.